Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Dell today. Lance is going to join us in a little bit from the Combine. He'll be back this afternoon, I believe, and back on the show tomorrow morning. But he is finishing up his NFL Network, or NFL.com mostly, right? Did you see him on TV? I didn't see any of the Combine stuff on TV this weekend, did you?
No, I didn't look at anything live. I saw stuff on Twitter, so I don't know if Lance was on or not.
No, I didn't either. I don't know. I saw him on Friday while we were doing the show. He didn't have those glasses. He actually had, what was that, the Joe Moore Award? He had
he was promoting he was promoting his Joe Moore Office Alignment Award deal days with, so he had the jacket on.
Yeah, he had that jacket on, and the Joe Moore Awards loved it. Just loved it.
Of course they did. That's why I asked the question, I don't know if it was on air or off air, about did they not just give them NFL Network stuff to wear, or are they allowed just to wear whatever the hell they want?
Apparently, they can just wear, how about, you know, I don't know, NFL, I think you got some money. If you got NFL.com people, you know, get them an NFL.com warm-up.
Maybe.
Anything.
Because if we're just going to allow people to wear whatever they want, don't let me get on that show.
No. It's ridiculous. Stop. Shoot. I mean, I don't know that I've been pumped and more into a regular season basketball game than I was Friday night.
Yeah, that atmosphere was nice. I mean, even speaking for a guy who whose passion is for another team, just watching that game and even the response from the fans. I don't know if they got there on time. I didn't tune in until about the second quarter, but it was electric, particularly in the fourth quarter.
We watched practically the whole thing. We went out to dinner with another couple, Ian and Noya, and then we said, let's go over to Revelry and watch the game on that gigantic big screen that they've got. We went over there to Revelry and just awesome, and everybody was into it, screaming and cheering. And I don't watch a lot of regular season Rockets games in a bar. Of course, I don't. If I'm going to watch it, I'm going to watch it in a bar. Pretty much, although it's Lent, so I was just drinking water, which is the worst thing ever.
So your substitute for alcohol is water? You don't go to some another beverage that isn't alcoholic?
No, I just drink water. That's all. No, what am I going to drink?
I don't know. Drink a soda? I don't know. Juice? I don't know.
No, I mean, what? I just drink some water. It's 10 o'clock. It's 9, 10 o'clock at night. What are you going to drink?
There are other things.
There's really nothing else. It's just water or Coors Light.
Maybe you should just try O'Doul's, and then maybe you'll gravitate towards that
actually,
when it's over.
O'Doul's has alcohol in it, so I can't drink that. One time in Nick's place, I drank like 30 of them because, I would have drank 30 beers.
Don't you think you're cheating God when you do that?
Yeah. So, and then at the end of the night, you know, I was not only bloated, but I was like, you know, hey, I got, you know, a little buzz going on here. Well, that's because there's alcohol in it. And then I haven't had any since then. So here's, honestly, I don't remember this city as excited, because that's a pretty good indicator when you're just sitting in a bar that everybody's into the game and everybody's screaming and cheering for every basket. Down the stretch now. Yeah. In early in the game, obviously, people are, nice shot or whatever. But down the stretch, everybody was just, you know, really, really into it. It was sweet.
It was Saturday night, and I don't necessarily buy the playoff atmosphere thing for most games, but that one was. That was a game, particularly with your team trying to get to 15 straight, playing what most people consider, at least at this point, the best team in the East. Yeah, I know LeBron and who they got smacked around again over the weekend, and Toronto's actually the best team, but no one pays attention to them. So Boston's pretty much that team.
Don't you feel like, well, Toronto's really good at home, so I don't know, if they get the top seed, they're going to be awfully tough. But if Toronto,
two games up right now,
if Toronto doesn't give you a feel like when Cleveland was in there, when LeBron was young,
see, I don't even think,
or New Jersey was in it,
I don't expect Toronto to make the finals. They feel like that Atlanta team from a couple years ago who had the best record in the East, and then everyone thought, yeah, but they're going to face it. They're probably going to face LeBron, and LeBron's going to win that one.
Except they're so good at home.
They are. So if they're dominant at home, to your point. So if they did find a way, I just don't believe in, they're not the, I like calling the Trash Brothers. It actually is my favorite nickname in response to the Warriors and the Splash Brothers. But the Toronto, DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have a tendency to disappear for a game or two in a playoff series, sometimes at the same time, sometimes one guy. That's my problem with them. If I could trust those guys through a seven-game series to not disappear, I'd like their chances because of home. And they're pretty explosive offensively. If you watch them, they just score. Their bench is really good too. So, yeah. But the Celtics are looked at as probably the best team in the East, even though the record says they're not.
Yeah. And by the way, Gordon Hayward, we were talking about it while we were watching the game. Is Gordon Hayward going to come back? And Brad Stevens said no, he's not coming back. Can we stop this talk? He's not coming. But man, I'll tell you this: that team is scary going forward. If you add Gordon Hayward to that. That's a pretty freaking good, you know, Jason Tatum. I mean, they're pretty good. That is a nice basketball team. Maybe another piece this offseason, and that's a team that can win championships.
You say that their piece is the all-star that's not playing.
Yeah.
That when they add him to the mix, that would be their, it's like they had a second, they looks like they did free agency all over
right.
again. That's their piece, the guy who only played one game, or not even one game.
And who knows? Who knows if they had another? Whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they own anyone's pick still, because it feels like they've owned another team's pick for years, because that's what Danny Ainge does. So they may. I don't know if they have a top 10 pick from somebody else that they could add another important piece. As I watched the game, I thought to myself, this is probably what the Rockets are going to face in terms of physicality, at least early on. They weren't necessarily matching it. Not a lot of whining, but they weren't getting some of the calls that they would have liked to get. Maybe because Boston was up. Maybe that's why it felt like that to me. But it felt like the Rockets were like, wait a minute, this is not going like all the other games gone. And Boston kind of beat them up a little bit. But in that fourth quarter, Boston cannot finish defensive possessions.
No,
they would get a stop, offensive rebound for the Rockets.
Right.
Get a stop, offensive rebound for the Rockets. And then even when they did get a defensive rebound. Rozier is holding the ball below his ankles and it gets stolen. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I know big men are told never to take the ball down, but that's not a basketball play to hold it down there and hopefully no one takes it from you.
That was the biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
Chris Paul comes out of it, yeah. and Trevor Ariza hits the big three. And then the steal by Ariza and the layup. But yeah, they just didn't execute down the stretch. I mean, their offensive possessions were terrible. And, you know, give the Rockets some credit there defensively. As much credit as you can give them in a 123-120 game. But was that the final?
I think that was. Yes, Marcus Smart missed a three that would have
tied. Yeah. And that was a nice little push there at the end, where getting him out of bounds. I thought he was, you know, foul him while he is, you know, catching the ball. And I think that was what he did. And he's pushing him out of bounds. And he almost hits that.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
James and Kyrie, I mean, they're obviously integral parts, but both of them did not shoot the ball particularly well. 6 for 17 for Kyrie, 6 for 18 for James. And Eric Gordon was ridiculous, particularly in one stretch where Boston tried to put the Rockets away. He continued to make shots. He finished with 29. And it's funny, my buddy Manny, he tweeted out, this would be a great time to have Ryan Anderson, because is Ryan Anderson hurt? This would be a good time for that $20 million piece to show up, because I think the Rockets are trailing. I was like, yeah, that number isn't apropos to what he actually brings to the table, because Ryan Anderson, not that he is Gordon Hayward, but he's getting paid like Gordon Hayward's pretty much getting paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be around for years, and he was hurt, so he wasn't a factor. But it is interesting what the Rockets have done. They have this big albatross. Considering Ryan Anderson, they're playing that guy like he's a premier player. He's not a premier player, and it doesn't matter. That's how much of that is their cap, and it doesn't really matter the way they play the game.
Yeah, no, it's just a guy that you're just, quite frankly, if he's in the rotation in the postseason, I'd be. But because of the contract that Ryan Anderson continues to get shot after shot, continues to get the minutes that he has gotten this season. I mean, if you bench Gerald Green, who was about as hot as you can possibly be, and yet Ryan Anderson, has gotten more minutes. It just is amazing. But it's about that contract. I think it's over now as far as showcasing him, though.
Yeah, I don't know who you're showcasing. I think the whole league knew what Ryan Anderson was before he got there. They're like 4 or 5 years ago, people thought about Ryan Anderson as, oh, he's a stretch four. That's where the game's going. He can really help. And then, but the Rockets are the only team that decided to pay him like he could help you win a championship. And who knows what his – who knows? Guys see redemption all the time. Maybe he has a good playoff run. We don't know. But Gerald Green is an expendable guy.
Yeah.
He's barely on a one-year deal. He's actually probably going to make more money from Adidas over the next couple years than he may make from the Rockets, considering what his new contract with Adidas. I don't know if he'll be back next year. No coach seems to trust Gerald Green. And when you're on a one-year deal, Mike D'Antoni has no responsibility to play Gerald Green. And the James Johnson thing, I think, signaled the end, not the end, but the Gerald Green getting legitimate minutes with James Johnson. I'm not James Johnson, but Joe Johnson with them right now.
Yeah. Is there a correlating Houston contract to Ryan Anderson's Carlos Lee?
Carlos Lee would be fake productive.
Like Carlos Lee, though, did get, and Ryan Anderson has put up some numbers. Now, not anymore. Carlos Lee didn't fall, because Ryan Anderson has fallen off the world. Is there any, and maybe Twitter can come up with it, anybody who is a similar albatross to a team, and he has been an albatross. Thank God that albatross, though, because you probably got Carmelo Anthony right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Ryan Anderson's career numbers. He's actually shooting the ball better than his career numbers, but he's getting paid $20 million to do it, and that's the problem. Like, if Ryan Anderson was on a 2-year $15 million deal, you might think it's too much, but if he was doing what he was doing under those numbers, you'd be like, okay, whatever. That's fine, because he's shooting at about over 38% from three, shooting 43% from the floor. Obviously, most of his shots are threes, and that's better than his career averages, but you think about $20 million for a player.
Yeah.
You should be able to do more than shoot 28
well,
footers.
Well, think about $80 million. I think because it's more $80 million than
that's
it
true.
Is.
That's true. It's not a one-year deal. It's a four-year deal.
If it was a one-year deal, you'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
But it's $80 million, and that's the albatross, is that nobody wants to take. You know, you said, well, the rest of the league knew who Ryan. Yeah, nobody would take him this offseason. Everybody was, no, thank you. No. The reason that you don't, now, God bless, you don't have Carmelo Anthony because of that. Because that was going to be the goal. And if Carmelo Anthony is on this team, that's another guy that you probably feel like, well, first of all, do you give him more money? Secondly, you kind of feel like, well, we got to play Carmelo Anthony. And look what it's done, all that's done for Oklahoma City.
Well, I was listening to the broadcast when they played Golden State a couple weeks ago, and Carmelo Anthony has apparently accepted. I haven't watched them throughout the year, but apparently he's accepted the role of just being a spacer, which is what Ryan Anderson is. And now Carmelo on a second unit could do more than that if you want him to be your primary scorer. But I get your point. He would be playing, definitely. You can sit Ryan Anderson and not feel too bad about it. I think, I don't know how Carmelo affects the chemistry, but just on its face, I would say I wouldn't have minded the deal. But it looks like the chemistry is just fine without him. He has a reputation, I guess, from some people being like a chemistry killer. But he said, at least with the Oklahoma City, I'll just sit out here and shoot jumpers. Paul and Westbrook can create stuff. By Paul, I mean Paul George. I don't know if he would have accepted that role here, because he would clearly be the number. He would still be the number three guy here. Would he have accepted the spacing shoot jumpers role? Because that's what he's done in OKC. They're still like the seventh seed.
They're the seventh seed. I mean, they're a game and a half out of not being in the playoffs.
Yeah. Denver's playing really well. The Clippers are playing well. So,
and we were talking about this the other day. That should be a top four team in the West.
Yeah, and you look at the standings.
Of course, they're
not that far out of the
first. No, they're
spot
actually
out,
a
actually.
Game out of third place.
Yeah, so what's the, is it really? They're,
good Lord.
So really, it's like we've been saying, Rockets, Golden State, and then everybody else.
Yeah, right. All right, 713 ESPN 97.5. Lance is going to join us, I think, on the other side right here on ESPN, but we never know that. So listen up here. We'll talk about the combine, what's going on. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here, right here on ESPN 97.5. Want you to see everything. Want
you to see answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Tony DeZiri.
Tune into The Usual Suspects with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack starting at 1 on ESPN 97.5. The Rockets on the road Tuesday night. They head to Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. The Rockets coming off a 123-120 win Saturday against the Boston Celtics, winning their 15th in a row. Eric Gordon with 29 points to lead the Rockets in that win. The Astros defeat the St. Louis Cardinals 4-1 in Grapefruit League play Sunday. Jose Altuve hitting his first home run of the spring. Brad Peacock tossed two scoreless innings. Houston back on the diamond this afternoon against the Miami Marlins. College basketball Sunday. Houston defeated UConn 81-71, closing out the regular season. Rob Gray with 30 points. Corey Davis Jr. with 17. Cougars now off to Orlando for the AAC tournament this week. They'll play Friday in the quarterfinals against either East Carolina or Central Florida. I'm Tony Desiri, ESPN 97.5.
It's that special time of year for Houstonians to show off their finest Western wear and celebrate our time-honored tradition. At Zadok Jewelers, it's all about family tradition and a legacy of master jewelers spanning seven generations. At Zadok Jewelers, our passion is providing our customers with the highest quality, value, and service. From loose certified diamonds to custom handcrafted jewelry, watch service, and jewelry repair. Our showroom features an extensive selection of diamond engagement and wedding rings, designer jewelry, over 25 of the finest Swiss watch brands, and fine crystal. Visit us at Post Oak in San Felipe or at Zadok.com. Remember, they're jewelry stores. And then there's Zadok's.
Hey guys, Lance Zerline here along with John Granato. Our favorite property managers are Renters Warehouse. If you're considering a move soon, if you need to relocate, combine households, or just don't want to pay your mortgage anymore, consider our friends over at Renters Warehouse. Whether you have one property or a portfolio, they can help you perfectly price your property and rent out your home easy, fast, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. And for one low monthly fee, their Rent Estate Pros will manage your property 24/7, including rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, and more.
Yeah, Lance, and they'll even warranty your renters for up to 18 months, meaning if for any reason the tenant doesn't stay, Renters Warehouse will replace that tenant for free. There are no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. It sounds like a great deal because it is. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price appointment to see what your home will rent for today. 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, or renterswarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse, what will your home rent for?
Barry Laminack here. It's a new year and time for you to get serious about losing weight. That's why I want you to call Houston Family Nutrition. We all know you have a better chance of meeting your goals with help, and that's what Mo and his staff can offer you. Mo's a registered dietitian and licensed by the state of Texas, and with services like nutrition consultation, grocery store tours, healthy home makeovers, and culinary expertise, it's everything you need to reach your goals in 2018. So call them. Houston Family Nutrition, 832-844-0789, or online at HoustonFamilyNutrition.com.
Texas Barber Colleges in Houston and Dallas have been helping men and women start new careers for 54 years. Students are enrolling now for the barber classes that start next week. Flexible schedules and low tuition are yours, plus financial aid is available for those who qualify. VA benefits accepted. Call 1-866-NEW-CAREER or text BARBER to 67076 or go to txbarber.edu. Visit their new Houston campus next to Conn's, right off US 59 and Gessner. All campuses offer $5 haircuts to men, women, and children all day, Tuesday through Saturday.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, this report is sponsored by CC's. If you're out on 59, the East Tex Freeway southbound at I-10, watch for an accident. And crews have cleared the problem off I-45, the North Freeway southbound at Rankin. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies on the buffet for just $5 and change for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply. From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 718. So we talked about the Rockets. Lance is going to join us, we hope, in a little bit here, if he can get away. This was about as heart-wrenching a weekend as it could have been. Friday, I got a call from Blaine Padgett's dad. He had called JT, or JT, then JT, my son, called me. My son's up in Missouri, but he was at Rice, and his roommate was missing, didn't go to workouts. And then his dad called me and said something is up because he wouldn't miss a workout. and they found him in his bed. He had died overnight. I talked to him for about 15 minutes the night before. I went over to their house. It was where JT was living. I talked to him, and he was fine. He was in a great place, and it just can't be sadder to lose a 21-year-old kid. I mean, it just can't be sadder. So we did that Friday, was there when it couldn't have been more horrible. Couldn't have been more horrible. And then last night was the vigil at Rice, and I'll tweet out if anybody wants to go to, if you haven't heard yet, there was visitation on Wednesday afternoon from 5 to 7 at their church, United, I believe United Methodist. It's in Beaumont or in the Beaumont area. And then the funeral is Thursday afternoon. So just a great kid and unbelievable. Just unbelievable that you could lose a kid that's is healthy and happy, and he was in a great place. I mean, he was so thrilled because he had had surgery and he was going to be able to work out. And they cleared him for all football stuff, and he was just pumped. And then he goes to bed that night and doesn't wake up. It's just unbelievable. And I don't believe there was no foul play. We talked. I was there when they took the body out, and the medical examiner was there and asked her, and she said there's no signs of foul play. She had to ask all the time, is there steroids? What about other drugs or whatever? And the roommates said, no, we've never seen anything like that. So, just don't know. He had just had surgery, about 4 or 5 months ago. So you would think that they would have found anything if there was with his heart, but maybe not. I asked the doctor and he said, there could have been a slight something. But they think, no, that's okay. There's nothing to that, but you never know. You never know. So, whenever this happens, you always say, make sure that you hug your kid and the parents, they were like, I wish he would have gotten arrested. I wish he would have said, I lost my scholarship. I wish he would have said whatever, anything but this. So it couldn't be a harder time for everybody at Rice. We were there for the vigil last night and there was a big crowd at Lovett. That's where he lived when he was part of Lovett Hall. So, love that family. And, it just doesn't get any harder. Doesn't get any harder than burying your kid. So, Michael and Wendy are just excellent parents and just excellent people. And I've got to know them over the last few years here. So this is, you see that it's a national story. Rice defensive end, dies in his sleep. It's a national story, but you just go, oh, well, there's, another kid. But when it's as close as that is, it's just unbelievable that something like that can. And when the parents got to talk to him for about an hour and a half the night before, I asked his dad, he said, yeah, we were on the phone for about an hour and a half, and everything was awesome. He couldn't have been, he couldn't have been in a better place. And then that happened. So kiss your kid today. Kiss your kid. And, whatever happens, or however they screw up, because they're going to screw up, it just deal with it and move on, because that's what kids do. They're going to screw up, but it could always, always, always be worse. So Lance is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Lance, what's up, buddy?
Hey, well said, Johnny. Well said. I saw the news come down a couple of days ago when it happened. And I didn't know the kid, but, it's always shocking when you see stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Well said.
He was Lance, I'm telling you, this kid, he had a chance to make it to the league. He was huge, big. So he reminds me of Trace Armstrong.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. He led the team. He got hurt last year, but the year before, he led the defensive line in tackles and tackles for loss. He was a beast. I mean, you want to talk about just when he walked in the room, he's 6'5", 250, 260, and he had room to put some on. He was that kind of player, and he was gonna be huge this year for Rice. So this is not only a huge loss for all of us, but for football wise, that dude he had a chance. He really did.
Sure. Yeah.
So tell me, we can see with our human eyes, Saquon Barkley, Shaquem Griffin, Orlando Brown. Those are the probably anything, you know, those are the biggest stories coming out the last, these first 4 days, 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, I would throw in there, those are the biggest ones. I would also throw in there Josh Allen had a really good workout, threw the ball well. I would probably add Tremaine Edmonds had a really good workout yesterday at linebacker, or may have put himself into an earlier position. Josh Allen, I think, is going to go inside the top five for sure now. There are teams who want to trade up and get their hands on him. Like, so somebody's going to come up and trade up for Josh Allen, I can tell you that. So I think that was something that kind of a little more under the radar after Griffin runs what he ran. And there was a little controversy because on TV, somebody captured his time being posted at 4:38 when he had yet to cross the finish line. So there was a concern over whether or not, you know, the network's time that they showed, the NFL Network's time they showed, was accurate or not. And I guess the intimation was they were trying to fudge the numbers and make it a better story. But I reached out to five different teams and found that they all had him anywhere on hand times from 4:36 to 4:40. So I think the time is obviously very legit. And the question is, well, why did he run so much slower the second time? But I think it was a matter of he got so pumped up for that first run, and so much energy was expended running that. Because if you watch this, a lot of times people run slower on the second one. But I think it was a matter of got off to a bad start on, and talking about Shaquem Griffin here, on his second run. And then he just kind of burned up energy, I think, after that first one. And that excitement just kind of ripped him from a lot of the adrenaline he had in the first run. And then he had to wait for 34 more guys to finish running again. So you had to sit and wait because it's the biggest group, one of the biggest groups that we have. So he was definitely a big story. Great kid. Had a chance to talk to him a little bit. I still think he's probably at the best goes fourth round. You're going to start to hear, you know, people who don't really understand the process of how this works will start pumping him up even further. Running fast is great, but you know, there's still football stuff that teams are going to be worried about. He doesn't really have a great football body. You know, he doesn't have a hand. I mean, it's going to play into the things that he can't do. Teams are going to look at that. So I think he's a great story, and I do think he's going to play in the league. I really do. I just don't know. I think we're going to start hearing people say, did he get in the second? He's for sure in the third. Richard Sherman, if he doesn't go on the second day of the draft, and this whole process is broken. Process is a broken Richard Sherman. He goes where he goes, and if he outplays it, he outplays it, and he gets a big second contract. So I'm talking about the process being broken, and just congratulate the kid on on running fast, because I knew he was going to be fast. I didn't think he was going to be that fast.
I love Yard Barkers. Was it? It's on Yard Barker. Yeah, it's a sports knot. One-armed prospect Shaquem Griffin dominates combine.
By the way, he did that after the combine. They wrote that article. I was like, what kind of clickbait is this? He hasn't even worked out yet. They wrote that article, by the way. Go look at the timestamp because I saw it too. They wrote it after his bench press. He hadn't even worked out yet.
I think the point is he has a second arm.
He's got an arm.
He's not one armed.
He's not.
Oh wait, they said one arm.
One arm prospect.
Oh, that's that's a hand.
Terrible.
Yard Barker.
He doesn't have a hand.
There's a lot wrong with this headline.
Yeah. So Josh Allen and Sam Darnold got caught in a revolving door.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. Apparently, they were in there, and they pushed it, and it was an electric door, and you can't push it, and they got stuck in it together.
Well, they were the two guys that were in the revolving door apparently getting stuck, and they're going to be the two guys who are the first two quarterbacks off the board.
So Lance, Josh Allen, do we forget all the tape? Do we forget the 50% completion percentage? Do we forget all the interceptions? Do we forget all this stuff just because he threw well at the combine?
Yeah, that's going to happen for some teams. I think what some teams will tell you anyway, because I know because I talked to a team that wants to trade up on, they said, we think the completion percentage has a lot to do with the fact that his wide receivers were so bad they couldn't get open. And we think that when he throws, you're going to see a lot more accurate quarterback. And you know what? He was more accurate out here on air when there was no coverage.
Mm.
I'm not forgetting the tape. I mean, I'm moving him up, but I'm not going crazy with it because I don't think he throws in anticipation, and I don't think that's going to change. So, you know, I'll give him a little bump, but I'm not going to go crazy.
Yeah. Mike Gesicki. He apparently made himself.
I mean, 41 and a half inch vertical leap. Is that any good? Hello?
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he ran a 4.55, and he, you know, he was a volleyball player, indoor volleyball, and those guys can jump. He won a slam dunk contest. I had Gesicki as my top tight end going in. Now, he won't block you, but I don't care because teams are going to draft him on a pass catcher anyway. So he showed that what I saw on tape was if you throw it up in the air, no one else is going to get it. I mean, he's 6'6 with long arms and can jump 41 inches. Just throw it high enough, and no one's going to be able to challenge him.
So
it's going to be over.
So he'll be there late third round for the Texans?
No, sir. No, sir. He's not going to. You know who could be, though? And I had this conversation with Maurice Jones-Drew today. Orlando Brown could be there for the Texans in the third. I'm not joking.
Well, but does he love football?
Orlando?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he does.
Well, why did he only have 16 reps then?
Because he's weak.
I get that, but you don't think he would have worked out for it?
I think he did. You know, he's a long-arm guy, too. That's the only one that really bothers me. The other stuff, I already knew he was a terrible athlete. Now, did I think he was historically bad? Did I think he was the worst workout ever at the Combine ever? I wasn't sure I was going to see that. But I knew he wasn't going to run fast. I knew he wasn't going to be quick. That's all on tape. That doesn't surprise me. I thought he might at least get 24 reps on the bench. So that number's a concern.
That's really, really, I know. But even
I had a GM tell me he could slide, like, into the late rounds of the draft. I'm like, come on, no way. He goes, oh. He just said, Lance, if you draft a guy, you know, anywhere inside the first four rounds, you're going to be the guy that drafted the worst combine performer ever. And if he fails out, they're going to say, how in the world did you draft a guy where all the signs are there that he wasn't physically able to play against NFL players?
Yeah, but do you know who else was the worst combine player ever?
Who?
Tom Brady.
Well, he just looked the ugliest.
No, he had some of the worst combine numbers ever. Ever.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, yes. He
was one of the throwing the football, you can't measure that in combine numbers. Orlando Brown. Look, would you draft Orlando Brown?
No. He looked really poor shadowing that when the defensive end just runs back and forth. He looked He looked bad doing. Looked like that guy could just run by him at any second.
I know. And like I said, would you draft him in the third round if you're the Texans?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I would take one of the worst workouts in history if I'm the Texans.
Yes.
You know what that's called? Desperation.
It is. And you know what never works out? Desperation picks.
Desperate picks. You know what you do when you get desperate? You give away second round picks to get rid of a terrible quarterback, and you draft guys who run 5.86s and who bench press like 14.
Yeah. So what? I don't care. We need a body out there. Otherwise, it's going to, I don't know, it's going to be, well, you got the seventh rounder, Julian Davenport, whenever he was drafted, whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. He'll be out there, too. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
I got to jump.
Go. All right, man. We'll see you.
Real quick. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, Lance will be back in studio tomorrow. He's busy. He's busy right now. 713-780-3776. So it's just me and Dell for the show. And we could, you know, if you want to get in here, anything that we've missed plenty so far. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We like to call this Oversaturation Monday.
Oversaturation and what else? It's Overreaction Monday?
Yeah, but there'll be 6 hours of me.
It's
Overreaction. It's Oversaturation Monday.
Not stop. It's Dell Radio. Okay. And he's paid like it. And he's paid like it right here on ESPN 97.5. 733, taking one here. 713-780-3776.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back in. No, Lance, me and Dell. And I think Chuck has issue. Is taking umbrage with that, Dell. Let's get Chuck in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Chuck.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
I just wanted to say, man, I said that last week about too much Dell, but I like Dell's fighting little comments of hate and all that. I think he's the most woke white guy I've ever heard.
He is. He is the most woke white guy in the business today.
No, that's Nick Wright. Let's be clear here. It's Nick Wright.
Nick is white?
Yes. He's white, I'm black.
You what?
I'm black.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the website. There are pictures to prove it.
Huh. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but even if I was white, Nick is clearly the most woke white guy you're ever going to meet. And maybe Sean King, because he has a heritage, not the former Tulane quarterback, the activist who has a heritage that we're not sure about.
What about the woman who was the
NAACP? Rachel Dolezal?
Yeah, Dolezal.
Well, she painted herself brown. That ain't woke. You can't do
it's
that.
It's kind of woke.
No, it's not.
It is kind of.
Wasn't there a movie called Soul Man that did the same thing?
You think she's Soul Woman?
I guess. I don't know where she got her inspiration from.
Let's get Ruben in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Ruben?
What's going on, guys? Johnny G, Delvin Diesel.
Ruben. What do you say, Delvin Diesel?
It's not my name.
It kind of is. What do you say, Ruben?
Hey, sorry about your boy, Johnny G. I feel bad. It's a sad start to the day. But I got something to say about the Cougars, man. I called not too long ago. And I was like, you know, they're making some noise. I believe it was you, Dale, that said, you know, it's highly probably unlikely that they make it because three teams out of the conference would be tough to do.
How long
maybe
did
something of a long shot.
I believe I said, Ruben, I think I said they needed to get a win over either Cincinnati or Wichita State before. I don't know exactly the timeline, but I do remember your call, and I said they needed a win.
You said it was a long shot, though. Did you not?
Yeah, particularly if they didn't beat those two, and they got wins over both. So, yeah, we've talked about congratulations to the Cougars. They're clearly in right now.
So my new question is, now that they are in, now that they're, what, I think they're ranked 25 coming into the tournament here, what do you think they can do in the ACC tournament and maybe in the NCAA? How far possibly do y'all think they can get? And I'm going to hang up and listen.
In the American AAC.
Yeah.
I don't know how far they go in the ACC tournament.
Because they don't play in that tournament?
Obviously, here's the deal is can they beat, you know, Cincinnati? I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Again, can they beat them again?
Yeah, on a neutral court, even though they didn't actually play in their home court. Obviously, they're playing their games at Texas Southern this year. I watched that game yesterday, Wichita State versus Cincinnati for the outright title, which Cincinnati won because they beat Wichita State in Wichita. Those two teams don't appear to be juggernauts. Now they're playing each other, and like I said, U of H has two wins over both. I don't know. Who says they even meet?
Yeah,
either one. We have to see how the bracket holds up. We expect at least one of those three to play each other, but you never know. I mean, U of H put away UConn, kind of a game that maybe was closer than a lot of people expected, particularly for a home game. We know the NCAA is all about matchups. Who are they going to face in the first round? You never know.
No.
If it's University of Houston versus a mid-major who's really good, although I guess they would be considered a mid-major. It's all about who they're facing. You never know.
Okay, so if anybody other than Cincinnati, Wichita State, Tulsa, or Memphis beats them, then it's a disappointing. They need to get through, and even Memphis beating them would be, because Memphis is the last loss that they have. Maybe they don't match up well with Memphis. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be, but those are the if they lose, then it's really disappointing. And even with the 24-6 record, then I think that they're in. Wichita State is in. Tulsa is a bubble, probably a bubble team. I don't know that you're going to get four out of the American. Three is going to be, and you know what? We've seen a 24-6 team. If University of Houston doesn't, advance to the semis of the American, then guess what? It's not a lock.
Well, they do have the two big wins over the two best teams in the conference.
But
I'm trying to see where Joe Lenardi had them.
We've seen 24-6 teams back at there.
But not with wins. They're a six seed right now, according to Joe Lenardi. I don't think getting blown out or even losing your first game is going to drop you out of the tournament. The bubble's kind of weak. Texas is still hanging on. if Lunardi has him a 6 seed facing, well, Baylor.
That's, where do they have Wichita State? Where does he have Wichita State?
Let's see. I'm going through it right now. He doesn't include what happened yesterday with Cincinnati and Wichita State, but he had Wichita State as a 3 and Cincinnati as a, I can't find them right. He's 3 as well.
He's got some respect on America.
Yeah. So what you have H is in. You can lose your first game, finish 24-7. Maybe you fall to a 7 or 8, but they're solidly. I don't see a loss, a drop in them. Yeah, I don't know how far they'll go. It just, we'll see who they play, and then you can analyze that. But as far as the AAC tournament, if they're not in a semifinal playing Wichita State or Cincinnati, I think it's a bit of a disappointment considering how the season's gone.
For yeah, no. And oh, by the way, you want them to be a tournament team.
Yeah, you want to see them play.
You want to see them
back to back days and see how they face and how they fare doing that. Yeah,
absolutely. Where's the American tournament?
Let's see. I got to find that. I don't know. Let's see. It's going to take me a bit to see. Yeah, I don't. I have to pull it up. I'm not sure.
We'll find it. Anyway, let's take a break because we're behind. 744 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How disappointed are you that Mississippi State didn't go unbeaten in girls' college basketball?
Well, that was a question I posed to you when I walked in. Now, we don't have the opportunity for an epic rematch between two undefeated teams with UConn beating Mississippi State, or at least facing them. Because if you remember, John, last year when UConn was a game away from the title, Mississippi State beat them in a national semifinal. But guess who they lost to? They lost to the same team they lost to yesterday, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
So South Carolina is like it's like Rockets to Sonics. The Rockets could beat anyone except for the Sonics. That's what it is for Mississippi State.
So they need the Sonics to get eliminated so that they can win it all?
Yeah, they're going to need Mississippi or South Carolina to get beat by someone else, and then they can find their way to a title.
Hmm.
So it's dramatic. Not only that, we had the start of the MLS season. The Dynamo got off to a 4-0 victory against
they did.
They scored 4 goals in the first half and beat Atlanta United or FC, whatever they're called. I don't know. And then LA, their new soccer team, because they had the Galaxy. Now they have another one. They have 2. They beat Seattle in their first game. So are we done talking about sports that no one really cares about? Oh, we haven't mentioned golf, so we'll get to that.
Phil Mickelson? No one cares?
He had to go to Mexico to win a tournament. Congratulations, Phil. That doesn't even count.
It's been 5 years, 1,900 days, I believe, is what they said. ESPN said 1,938 days, whatever it was, since Phil Mickelson won a tournament. He beat out Justin Thomas in extra hole, okay? Is it not one of the great sporting events of all time that Phil Mickelson wins? I mean, forget, we buried the headline. Forget the Rockets. Forget Mississippi State. Forget the Cougs. All of that. Phil Mickelson winning in Mexico. One of the great tournaments of all time. Okay? AAC tournament is in Orlando. Central Florida, which is a borderline team. Well, not a borderline team. They're not going to the tournament. That's the American getting 4 teams. Now, yeah, you're right. The top 3 are all going to go. They're all ranked teams. U of H is ranked 25th now. So they're going to go. But it's kind of surprising the kind of respect. Texas A&M. I mean, look at the SEC. Texas A&M wins 7 of its last 10 games. And now are 9-9 in conference and 21-10 overall.
Yeah, they were really good in the non-conference. Had some injuries, suspensions, struggled. I think they opened 0-3, 0-4, or whatever, and then they found a way.
0-5.
0-5. They were really bad, and they found a way.
They were 2-7 in conference, and they finished 9-9.
Yeah, and they are solidly in. There's not even any question marks about A&M, particularly because of what they did in non-conference. They played Alabama over the weekend. Alabama is a team that kind of set A&M on the wrong track very early in the year. They went into Tuscaloosa and got their ass kicked. But now,
take it back. They were 2-6 in conference. They lost to Kansas as well.
Okay. So they're clearly in the tournament because they had a great non-conference run.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in 9-9, but when they were 0-5, they were out.
It was ugly. Yeah.
Yeah, they were out. Billy Kennedy did a great job. And you think because of his pregame speech?
I think he is a great motivator. I'm not sure he does it with pregame speeches. Hey, guys.
Yeah, I
play hard. It's a big game. Yeah. What? Coach, what'd you say? Go Aggies.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I just want you guys to go out there and play as well as you can. And let's get some rebounds. I want you guys to crash the boards.
No.
Play hard and with emotion.
And crawfish.
I can't. What?
Coach, why are you talking about crawfish?
Because he's from New Orleans. He's not from Louisiana. He's from New Orleans.
Oh, it's different. Do New Orleans people consider them?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine people who are not from New Orleans and live in Louisiana consider that a different place altogether.
You don't say I'm from Louisiana. You say I'm from New Orleans.
They don't even consider.
But they're from New Orleans first and then. Because if you're from Louisiana, you're all about LSU and they're not all about LSU and New Orleans.
What are they all about then?
They're all about the Saints. That's pretty much it.
They don't pick a college team?
The Saints and drinking and partying.
Well. I didn't know that was the dynamic that New Orleans. I get New Orleans, you're the major city.
That's what they're all about.
What the hell is that?
That's one of their. I don't know. Justin is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Justin?
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
What's up, bro?
So I went to high school with Rachel Dolezal in Montana, and she's the most unwoke person ever. She was the pastiest, whitest thing I'd ever met. She had blonde hair and, like, you could see through her. She was so white. So I just had to call in. It was funny because this chick grew up in a town of 950 people in Montana.
In Montana?
Yep.
And she ends up as the head of the NAACP there. Where was she? In Oregon or somewhere? Where was she?
Somewhere in those liberal
in
states.
In Washington.
Same thing.
And when this hit the news, I was so blown away because she was the whitest girl I ever met.
Oh my God! And she ends up as the president of the NAACP in whatever state, wherever up there.
Yeah,
that's
it was
funny.
Hilarious, man.
Montana
it was
girl, Montana. That's woke, Del. And I know about woke. Okay, why
is that again?
Why is that, Del?
I believe because you watch the now defunct SportsCenter at 6.
Is it defunct, though?
Yeah, I mean, they still have a show at 6, but it's not SC at 6 anymore.
No.
It's Michael Smith with randoms.
It's still Michael.
Apparently, the combination of Jamel and Michael made it woke. Now it's just Michael doing SportsCenter.
That's just the SportsCenter now?
Yeah, I don't know how.
But it's not cool SportsCenter
anymore?
I'm
not sure what he does on that show. I didn't even watch it. I didn't watch it when it was Michael and Jamel. I'm not sure if the tone has changed, but it's just SportsCenter at 6. Happens to be at 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's not SC at 6 anymore.
We're not doing Donald Trump segments anymore. We hate Donald Trump segments.
Look, Michael Smith probably realized, great what Jamel did, but yeah. I want to stay as the host of SportsCenter at 6.
I like doing my job. I like my job.
Yeah, I mean, she still works for the company, but
does she?
She writes and stuff.
Does she?
She's not on TV every day like Michael is.
Yeah, because we can't have that.
No.
I know we're woke at ESPN, but we can't be that awake.
Look. Let's say we're 7 a.m. awake. We're not 9 p.m. 9 a.m. full of coffee awake.
No,
as you like to say.
Well, and you know, about 1 o'clock, we probably get a little tired. We need a nap. Yeah, we're not that.
They're like me. I need a nap.
You do need a nap.
About 2 o'clock, I need a nap.
Yeah, too much Dell. Way too much Dell today. Yeah, right here. Well, 6 hours of Dell.
That's really not my fault. To be honest with you, I didn't campaign for it. We just decided, we're not going to get John a co-host today.
Apparently, we forgot that.
We're not interested in that.
Apparently, we forgot that John needed a co-host today.
We don't have the bodies for that, John. We can't keep outsourcing.
No, we apparently we can't. 750-70 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Maybe you can help us out here if you want to get in. You're more than welcome. Anything that happened this weekend and you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.